blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart. Though life seems vain, burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1 through 4 of Psalter 204.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, beginning with verse 57 through verse 80. Luke 1, verses 57 through 80. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, and thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 1, beginning with verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened, immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outsorn and Dustin Grisnick, who were both in the hospital in this past week. Jeremy Van Heikenbos needs to receive surgery tomorrow, the Lord willing. Also, Amanda Van de Merwe hopes to move this week to BC. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we may gather together in this morning hour, and we may begin with the singing of thy praises with our mouths. We may begin with the reading of thy word and the hearing of thy word with our mouth, with our ears. And we may begin by praying unto thee, by trying to draw nigh to thee, who art so holy, and we so carnal and sinful, so that we are greatly separated from thy presence because of our sin, from our father Adam, and from ourselves. And then, Lord, who can sing unto thee aright with our heart? Who is able to read thy word and to receive what is necessary therefrom? Who is able to approach unto thee as we ought? Lord, there is from our side nothing but what is sinful and what is worthy to be cast away by thee. We sit in darkness because of our deep fall. We do not understand thy word. Lord, we have read of light in this morning hour. One that would come to give light unto those who sat in the darkness. And thou knowest what we are. Lord, we need just a little ray of that light, that heavenly light, to shine into our dark soul, that our eyes may be given to see something that we have never seen before. A little in shining into our wretched hearts, to open unto us what lies therein, that pit that is filled with corruption and that has nothing good wherein it may seek and serve its maker. O Lord, for a little light to give self-knowledge, that we also may be ready, prepared to receive that message that is to be delivered amongst us in the week that is in this week that is before us. And when we hope to gather together to hear the message of the coming of thine only begotten Son in the flesh. And Lord, thou knowest what we stand in need of. We have been considering in the weeks that have gone by what we call an Advent people. But Lord, we have no Advent by nature. There is no looking, there is no longing to receive thee in our hearts. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou may look upon us in this morning hour, and that thou may give to us that necessary preparation, that we also may receive him in our heart with gladness and with joy. Then it is necessary that we receive that first light, and that light that must shine within to show to us what we have done and what we have become in our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head. Then sorrow we read in thy word that goes before joy, and mourning and weeping that goes before laughing and rejoicing. Lord, that we would not be strangers of that true sorrow that goes before. Else we shall come in by climbing over the wall. Then we shall not enter in through that gate, that straight gate, that narrow way. When we in our self-righteousness have no need for that blessed child. Lord, so it is by nature. And there is not one of us that can make it different, but thee alone. Oh, we ask of thee then in this morning hour, that thou wouldst descend once again, that thou would come again with the power of thy Holy Spirit, as thou camest with power on the day of thy birth, as that divine child who did with the sword of his mouth, did slay those that were self-righteous. Oh, that thou may slay that self-righteousness that is lying in each and every one of our hearts, that it may be cut off and die. Oh, that we may be brought in truth for the first time or by renewal to that blessed place at thy footstool, that as a leper
that is from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, that we may come and that we may worship thee, and that we may need thy power to deliver us from all our guilt and from all our sin, that we cannot deliver ourselves from in our own power. Oh, that thy divine nature, that thy divine strength, that thy almighty hand, that might be so necessary, precious, and suitable unto us who are so unable and who are so weak to do anything about our evil state and condition. Lord, that we may see such a blessedness in that blessed child who was born in that stable and laid in that manger. Oh, that it may become for us that a day that he would be seen by our own eye of faith as altogether lovely, as the chiefest among 10,000. Lord, that we may long, that we may hunger after him, even as those who have no strength and no ability and no desire and no will in and of ourselves, so completely dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, that there may come a cry from those in this morning who have never seen it in their life, who have never been discovered unto their own iniquity. Oh, a little ray from above in this morning, a little ray of that heavenly light to make a man, a woman, a boy, a girl to cry out, even in the midst of all their wretchedness. Lord, help me. Lord, remember me. Lord, save me. Oh, they are those needy that thou wilt hear when they cry, thou dost promise. Lord, make us such in this morning hour. Look upon each and every one of thy own people. Oh, for their sake this world still continues, and thou cuttest us not off. They are the apple of thine eye, and they are those for whom thou hast come. Thou hast revealed thyself in thy great strength and in thy great beauty. Lord, may thou remember them, because they travel in a wilderness, even as thy people of old, when thou hast delivered them from the slavery of sin and bondage of iniquity, then thou didst bring them into the wilderness, and there they had to learn for many years what lay in their own hearts, the wretchedness and the sin and the rebellion, even after received grace. And it is a way of great disappointment in self. But Lord, then there were also those moments in that wilderness that thou gavest thy remnant to look upon thee in all of thy beauty. Then there were those moments that thou may fill them with that wonder, and that thou didst provide for such as they. And then it was that they may look one time even upon that manna which thou providest day by day. And then they may drink by times of that river that flowed out of that rock. Lord, may thou look upon thy people also in this day. Oh, they are those, and many of whom are not yet delivered in such a way that they may be able to embrace thee, and that they may be able to say, he is mine and I am his. And thou knowest the need and thou knowest the longing. Oh, that thou may fulfill it in thy own time, and that thou may lead further upon that way, and that they may be brought step by step on the way unto Zion. And Lord, when we stand without yet, and when we have no concern and we are careless as we go through this world, oh, could it please thee, Lord, to open our eyes in this morning hour? Oh, that thou may show to us that we travel to a never, never ending eternity. Oh, should we empty the ocean a cup by cup of water? Oh, then still, and an eternity that would just be beginning. Lord, when we would take away sand by sand, all the sand upon the seashore, oh, then that great eternity, when we would have finished, and that would just be beginning. Lord, we have no impression. We have no conception of that great eternity, and that there is such a great difference between those that are lost and those that are saved. Here they dwell together, but soon there shall be a great separation. Oh, we have no conception of the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth forever and forever. We have no conception of that outer darkness wherein thy hand is only to be felt in all thy wrath and all thy righteous judgment, and that forever and forever. O Lord, bind it then upon our hearts. We have no conception what the glory of thy church shall be. Oh, to rejoice in great wonder and humility that thou hast looked upon such a one, such a people as they are, and then to magnify and to glorify thy great and holy name. Oh, by beginnings, forever and forever. Oh, Lord, bind it upon our hearts, that we might learn to seek thee in the time that thou still art to be found, that time that is so short and that flies by so quickly. Oh, give us then to hasten for the sake of our life. Wilt thou bless those that have great needs in this life? Be with widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that need thee and are lonely in this world, those that are unmarried, those that have no children, all the handicapped ones, blind, deaf, dumb. Or wilt thou supply in the needs of those who have difficulties of the mind, that thou may encourage as thou alone art able? But wilt thou also bless the afflictions, that they may be sanctified to the need of our souls? Look upon the two children. They have been brought and they have come home from the hospital, and thou hast made things well. Wilt thou remember them further and bless the means that they may be used to their recovery? And look also upon the child that must be operated on in the day of tomorrow. Lord, go before him also. And wilt thou guide the hands of the physicians in that very delicate work that they must perform, that thou may give them skill and steadiness, that they may be able to help this child, and that thou may bless the means also for his good. And oh, sanctify, Lord, bless these matters to children, to parents, to all of us together. Wilt thou remember all that need thee in special ways in this world? Lord, we remember also those where there are difficulties in marriages. Wilt thou supply in all their needs? Oh, that thou who art able and who hast the heart of kings in thy hand, thou art able to turn them whithersoever thou wilt. Could it please thee to give love between husbands and wives? And may thou supply in all the needs. Remember also to that end her that will travel back to her former place with her children in the week to come. Lord, wilt thou remember them? and look upon them in thy mercy, and also her husband where he is. Thou knowest all the circumstances, Lord. Oh, thou art above it all. Oh, that thou may keep from sin, and that thou may supply in the need, and wilt thou forgive sin, and wilt thou protect her over dangerous ways in the week that is to come. Wilt thou supply for all the children in such circumstances in this world, without father, without mother in their homes, Lord. Oh, that thou may supply and look upon us in mercy, remember us as a congregation, as a denomination, when also these evils do penetrate amongst us more and more. Oh, that we may bow our knees before that throne of grace, and that thou may help us, Lord, to keep us with those old paths, not only in the doctrine of thy word, but also in the practice of our life. That thou may keep the way of Satan out of our families, and that thou may give us as parents to guard over and watch over our own families. Wilt thou be with us in this morning? Wilt thou go before us in the preaching and in the listening? And may thou give thy spirit to give words in our mouth and the matter to speak, and that thou may give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. Forgive and take away all that is sinful. And be with all those that are not able to be with us in this morning because of sickness or other reasons. Bless them also in their own places. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 439, stanzas 3 and 4. Whom have I, Lord, but Thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy, but Thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning. For Thee my troubled heart is burning. Though flesh should faint and heart should break, Thou art my rock that naught can shake. In life, in death, Thou art my stay, my strength, my portion, Lord, for a. We announce at the congregational meeting the following were chosen for office bearers, for elder, Mr. Garrett Van Heerden, and for deacon, Mr. Rick Busicum. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory. Psalter 439, stanzas 3 and 4. Congregation, what does it mean to prepare? That means that we get ready. That we get ready for something which is coming. We prepare. What a great difference between those who are prepared and those who are not prepared. Because those who are prepared receive that blessing, while those who are not prepared miss the blessing. Children, if in the morning, day by day, you are not prepared, then you will miss the bus. Thus, there are those who get on the bus, and there are those who do not get on the bus. Then the bus is gone. And then you can get ready. That doesn't help anymore, does it? Because that bus is gone already. Is there not a great difference between those who are prepared and those who are not prepared? We read in the Bible that those who were prepared, those who were ready for the marriage, went in to the wedding. And there were others that were waiting also, but they were not prepared. And when the bridegroom came, then he went in, and we read the door was shut. Then they thought to prepare, but it was too late. That door was shut. And that door remained shut. Congregation, what a great difference between those who are prepared and those who are not prepared. This week, the Lord willing, we hope to commemorate Christmas. That is the coming of the Son of God in the flesh. And the world that is preparing for Christmas. Are you also preparing for Christmas? How do you prepare? Do we prepare as the world prepares? Then we shall be prepared for a very different kind of Christmas. One that will be a great disappointment. But are there now a people who say, Lord, wilt thou truly prepare me? So that when that message comes, that child is born, that there may be place also in my heart for him. And what kind of heart is he coming in? He was born, children, where? In a filthy place. In a filthy place. In a stable. That was not only then, but that is still today. But have we to make it a stable? No, it is so. It is so with you and with me. We only need to learn that it is so. And in such a way that we may be prepared. With the help of the Lord, we wish to consider for a little while in this morning such a preparation out of Luke 1, verse 76. Luke 1, verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. So far the words of our text. Preparation for the coming of the Lord. First, the necessity of this preparation. Second, the substance of this preparation. And afterwards, we hope to conclude with a word of application. The preparation for the coming of the Lord. First, its necessity. And second, its substance. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. What is a prophet? Well, we know that in former days, the prophets, they revealed the things that were future. They revealed the things that men that have not taken place yet in this world, that were still coming in this world. And then we think in a special way about the great events of salvation, the coming of the Messiah and the suffering of that Messiah, his death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the great events of salvation, the prophets, they have prophesied of already a long time before that these events have taken place. There were also many things that had to happen after that time that the Lord Jesus was on the world. And these things also the prophets, they have long ago spoken of. Then there are things that still have not yet taken place in this world. And they are also the things that have been revealed. We can read unto the Apostle John, that John has spoken of those things that still have to come upon us and upon our children and grandchildren. And, well, how long that the Lord will allow this world to last. Thus, prophecy. But the prophets were not only those who prophesied of the things in the future. The prophets were also those who gave instruction. That was the work of the prophets then, and that continues to be the work of the, if we may call them, the prophets of our day. They are in our day the servants of the Lord, the ministers of the Lord, those sent by the Lord to give instruction. They no longer need to prophesy of the things that are coming in the future. Why not? Because all of that prophecy has already been completed. We can read that now in the Word of God. And now God's servants, they need light to see what that prophecy means and light to be able to explain what those prophecies are. Now we read here about this child. That is John the Baptist. John the Baptist will not be an ordinary prophet. He is called here by his father the prophet of the highest. And this prophet had a very special task that was to go before, we read, the face of the Lord. That was an ancient custom that someone would go before the kings and the princes and the great people of this earth when they traveled from place to place. Why? Because, boys and girls, then we did not have such nice roads as we have today. But then often there were things in the way. There were deep ditches that those who traveled could not come through. There were obstacles that were laying in the way. There were things that were would be to them as a mountain that they could not come over. So there had in the first place one to go before them that would take away all of these obstacles and that would make plain, make smooth that path for this princely one, this high one to go. You can read about Elijah, that he did so also when he went before Ahab, that he ran as it were before him. Thus, these, they are called a forerunner. And now the prophet John, he will be a prophet, we read, of the highest. To do what? To go before the highest, the greatest person that ever came into this world. He will also have a forerunner, we read, who will go before him. That was also prophesied. Malachi, he writes, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. He shall prepare the way before him." And Zacharias himself, he prophesied by the Spirit in this chapter, "And he shall go before him in the Spirit and in the power of Elias." Thus, that great task, this is now prophesied by Zacharias, that is going to be taken up by this little child, John the Baptist, who has been born. Isaiah has prophesied that such a forerunner would go before the Lord Jesus. We read the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." Thus, already so many years before, the prophet of the Lord prophesying not only of the coming of the Lord Jesus, but of the coming of the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. Then there was a second task of that forerunner. That was not only to prepare that way, but that was also to prepare the people. And that the people would be waiting and would be looking for this great king, this great prince who was going to be passing through, who was going to be coming in their midst. Thus, that the people would be ready to receive him, that they would be ready to greet him. What an awful thing when such a great person in this world would be traveling through some town, some city, and would receive no recognition at all, that no one even knew that he was coming. And thus we read also in our text, "For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." And the angel of the Lord, he had spoken also to the father of this child. And he had spoken about the work of this child when he would be born. And he said that this child will do this work, he said. "Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." And Zechariah writes to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Thus, to prepare his ways. That is the way for the coming of the Messiah, that greatest person that shall ever come into this world, will have a forerunner to go before him to prepare his way. Why was that necessary? Well, for 4,000 years, the church of God that has been waiting for the coming of Christ. And Malachi, several hundred years before his coming, as the last prophet, he has spoken about how he shall come, that he shall suddenly, we read, he shall suddenly come into his temple. Thus this people, after waiting for 4,000 years, they must be told, they must be informed that that time of his coming, that is no longer far away. No, but the time of the coming of that Messiah that was promised from the very beginning unto their father Adam, that the time of this coming is now very, very near. Thus it would be to the glory of the Lord Jesus when that people, they would be actively waiting for him to appear. Thus necessary that he would have a forerunner to go before him. Necessary, why else? Because of the ignorance of the Jews. Because of their misinterpretation of all of the prophecies that have spoken of this Messiah. The Lord Jesus himself, he said later that the kingdom of heaven does not come with observation. That is, that he says, it is not just going to be evident, it is not going to just be plain to everyone. It is necessary for another reason, and that is because the Jews, they have become settled in their religion. They have become settled with the ceremonies. They have made something out of the ceremonies, which those ceremonies were not. They have made a formal religion out of this, and they needed to be instructed. They needed to be shown what was the meaning of the types that have gone before, what was the meaning of that tabernacle, and that this, that was not its end, no, but that they were to look forward for its right fulfillment. To prepare his ways. Why? Because the Savior was coming. The Savior was coming. To save from what? To save from sin. But that people, did they even know what that sin was? Thus, they must be prepared to receive that divine child who would be lying in there in that stable, in that manger, with the greatest power of every man in this whole world. Or would there even be a people who would need him? And when they saw him, to prepare his ways. The purpose of the sending forth of this prophet, John the Baptist. Why? To encourage the people of the Lord. To encourage the Simeons, to encourage the Annas, to encourage those who were waiting for a consolation of Israel. No, the Lord will not be to them in their life a land of outer darkness, as they are waiting for the Lord to reveal unto them that Son of God, that way, that truth, and the life. No, when that people, they are coming forth out of nature's darkness, when the Lord is showing to them what is lying within, when they have to go from step to step of disappointment in themselves, and before that mediator, that way is revealed, is the Lord to that people a land of outer darkness? No. No, then the Lord is also preparing so often that way that is before them. The Lord is giving them an encouragement here and there in the
spiritual life of that true church to prepare his ways. Why? Oh, that that true church would be ready to receive him. That that true church in their spiritual warfare may also redouble their efforts to put away all sin, to put away all iniquity, that they may rise up out of their slothfulness. Thus the necessity of the preparation for the coming of the Lord. And what is now the substance? That is our second thought. What is that preparation? Well, where was the power of John the Baptist? That was not in any ecclesiastical power in this world. He was not one of the Sanhedrin. He was not a Pharisee. He was not a scribe. So he had no power to make decisions in the church. He had no political power. The government of that church that was at that time so corrupted, along with the ceremonies of the Lord. John the Baptist had no earthly power. He was not an earthly king. He was not a prince in this world. And yet, we read that this child is going to go forth with power. He is going to go forth with that same power that was experienced by God's servant Elijah. Where then did the power of this servant of God reside? That resided in the Spirit of the Lord upon the blessing of his, what do you know, children? The blessing of his preaching. There is in that great power. May you ever experience something of the power of the Lord in his blessing of the preaching of his word. And what was then that power? We need to go then to find that power. We need to go then to the message. We need to go then to the contents of the preaching of John the Baptist. And who knows what the contents of the preaching, what were the words of John the Baptist when he would preach unto that Jewish people? Do you know what he said? He said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Thus, the first thing that was necessary in preparation for the coming of that Messiah, that is repentance. What is repentance? That is a turning of the heart. And with that turning of the heart will come a turning of our life. Repent. That is to turn away from what? To turn away from sin. Thus, John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus in the midst of that Jewish people. What did John the Baptist do to prepare that way? He preached about turning from sin. He preached about turning unto God. He preached the law of God. That is what it means to repent. That instead of going against that law of God, that we obey the command of the Lord. Thus, what does the apostle write? He writes
that the law is a schoolmaster unto Christ. A schoolmaster unto Christ. Why? Because it is so necessary for and as preparation. Preparation to receive the child. Congregation, are we prepared? Prepared through what? Prepared through plowing. Prepared through the preaching of the law of God. And what does that law of God reveal to a man, a boy, a woman, a girl? What does that law reveal? That will not reveal how good that we are. No, it will reveal how evil that we are if that preaching is applied by the Holy Spirit. That is now the preparation. We read of the rich young ruler with that law that he says, all this have I kept from my youth up. Then he rose with it. Then what does the Lord Jesus say? What need you have you for me? No, if that's the way that you want to save yourself, then you must go back again to that law and you must keep that law every day in perfection. Or it is just the opposite. When the Lord is blessing the preaching of that law, then a man is being prepared for Christ. How? Oh, congregation, that child, that little child, and that we hope to commemorate his birth in the week to come, that little child, what was so special of that little child, it was that he was the Son of God, that he is divine, and that he has power. Power for what? That he has power to put away sin. He was going to hang himself upon that cursed tree. He was not going to come just to give temporal blessings. He was not going to come just to heal the sick and to raise the dead in this world. No, it was for a picture. Thus, who was ready for him in this world? It was the lepers, it was the blind, it was the deaf, it was the dumb, it was the dead ones. They were all ready for his power. The scribes and Pharisees were not ready. They were not prepared. Oh, what has to go before as preparation for the receiving of that divine child, for the receiving of that divine might of the Lord. And then the preaching of that law of God, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, did you ever attempt to do as John the Baptist has said? Did you ever attempt to repent? Because it is only by attempting to repent that a man will find out that he is not able to repent. It is only by attempting to repent that a man will find out that he is nothing but a sepulchre of wickedness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you see how that John the Baptist, he went before the coming of the Lord Jesus, the revelation of that divine power. He went before him, why? To prepare that way, to prepare the people, that there would be a people who are sitting and that they are waiting, that they are looking for the Lord Jesus to come. Oh, where is he that is able to do more than I can do? Where is he that is able to cleanse my evil heart? Where is he that is able to forgive all mine iniquities? Oh, are there they who are prepared for the coming, even for the celebration of Christmas,
in the midst of us, even in this century, to prepare his ways. What did John the Baptist say in his preaching? He said, the axe that is laid now at the root of the trees. And he said, every tree that will not bring forth good fruit, that will be hewn down, and it will be cast into the fire. When we consider what those Jews were at the time of John the Baptist and at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world, then what must we say of the Pharisees, the scribes, and their teaching of the Jewish people? Then there was something that was so important to that people, and that was their heritage. We are the sons and we are the daughters of Abraham. And what was necessary? It was necessary for one to go before and to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus. That was John the Baptist. To come and to say to them, think not to say within your own hearts that we have Abraham to our father. No, don't think to say this. Because this will not do you any good. No, God is able to take of the stones of the field, and he is able to raise up to them children unto Abraham. Oh, then they had to learn that just because they were church members, just because they came to the synagogue, that was not going to save them. No, they are not all Israel, the Lord says, who are of Israel. Oh, that national pride that was resting on their heritage. Oh, yes, they endured their subjections to the Romans. But they endured that subjection with a haughty pride. A haughty pride that they were still superior to the Romans and that there was a deliverer coming. Did the Romans know this? Oh, yes, they did. Because when the Lord Jesus was born, oh, and then it was spread abroad something about the king of the Jews is born. And then, oh, then there is great fear. Oh, Pharisees, come, tell us where that he is to be born. He has to die because he feared for his own overthrow. Oh, those Pharisees, oh, they let it be known. They were looking for their king. And now how could such a people, the Jewish people, how could such a people in front of all those Romans admit and receive a child who was born in a stable. A child that was lain in a manger. You understand that was what that was for that people? That was cutting. That was cutting to the pride of their flesh. Never let him be crucified. Pilate mocked. We crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. Oh, do you understand? Do you understand that? They were not prepared, were they? They were prepared to receive such a different king, were they not? They were prepared for someone to sit on an earthly throne. They were looking for earthly glory. Oh, they could not bring themselves in the dust before one another and before the Lord and before all of their enemies. No.
No, they would not, they could not receive such a king as the Lord Jesus would appear to be when he came into this world. Thus, what is that preparation? What is that work of John the Baptist? That work of John the Baptist is to try to bring that people low, to try to lay that people in the dust, that they would be prepared to receive this king as he would be when he came into this world. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. Knowledge of salvation. John the Baptist is going to give knowledge of salvation to the Jewish people. John the Baptist is going to give knowledge of salvation to the Pharisees and to the scribes. He was not one of them. What are you going to teach us? Knowledge of salvation. What had those Pharisees and scribes done with the knowledge of salvation? Didn't they have it? Sure, they had it. They had it in their ceremonies. They had it in their types. They had it in all that was given unto them from their fathers. And what have they done with it? They have corrupted it. And John the Baptist, he had to prepare that way before him. To do what? To speak about sin. And to speak about how that sin could be forgiven. The knowledge of salvation. How that man could be saved. How? By the remission, by the forgiveness of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. Oh, that was not meat and to drink to the self-righteous ones. What is he, that little child? What is he to the self-righteous one in this world? Malachi prophesied of him what he was going to be to the self-righteous. He was going to be to them a sword. And he was going to separate. And he was going to cut that self-righteousness down. And so the Lord Jesus did when he came to his people. Then he said, "Woe unto you Pharisees and scribes. Woe, woe, woe." What is he? What is his power? Why would he have to be divine? Why did he have to be the Son of God? If we have enough of our own strength, if we have enough of our own righteousness, if we can save ourselves, why then do we need such a divine child to be born in this world? Oh, John the Baptist had to go before him to prepare his ways. Let us sing Psalter, the Song of Zacharias. The Song of Zacharias, stanzas 3-7. John was the prophet of the Lord to go before his face, the herald which our Savior God sent to prepare his ways. 3-7 of the Song of Zacharias.
Thank you.
Congregation, this week, the Lord willing, commemoration of Christmas. And then every one of us, every one of us, from the oldest one unto the youngest one, we may ask ourselves this question: are we prepared? Are we prepared for commemoration of the birth of the Son of God? We may ask ourselves, in other words, is there a place for this child to be born in our heart? If the Lord were to come but once, in this week, and never again, never again, by the power of His Spirit, if the Lord were to come just once, and never, never again, to open, to reveal the power of that Son of God, to forgive and to cleanse and to wash away all guilt, all iniquity, all sin. If He was to come but once and never again, in this coming week, when we commemorate the birth of that Son of God, how many would be prepared to receive this blessing? How many would miss it? So that when the Spirit of the Lord is gone, it is gone forever. Any moment, it is possible that we are cut off out of this life. When we miss this congregation, when we miss this blessing, I don't mean an outward commemoration of Christmas. I mean the inward revelation of the Son of God to our needy soul. When we miss this, or do we realize what this means? This means forever and forever lost. Lost. Or do we think, do we consider what it means to be lost? Do we ever consider what it says in the Word of God about hell? That we may be urged on to seek the Lord. Do we ever consider what it says in the Word of God about heaven? That we may be drawn to that blessed communion with Him. It is congregation
forever and forever. We cannot conceive of what eternity is to prepare His ways, the way before Him. Thus, the Lord used means. He sent a person. He would use this as a means in His hand to prepare. Do we also prepare? When we commemorate the Holy Supper of the Lord, then we have for ourselves a week of preparation. What was your preparation to come this morning into this house of God? Did you prepare? How must we prepare, children? Did you bow your knees? Did you read something last evening to put now all your work aside and to say, Lord, tomorrow is Thy day. And in this morning, how long did we lay in our bed? How long? Do we say it is the Sabbath day? We don't need to get up so early? Or were we preparing? We must prepare to speak, even though we have to receive it of the Lord. You must prepare to listen, even though it needs to be sanctified by the Lord. Preparation. Thus, the Lord has given means in this world to prepare to receive His blessing. Do we use those means? Advent, the very season of Advent, that is for preparation. It is to direct the faith of the true people of the Lord, to direct it, to look upon Him who has taken away all their iniquity. Or has the Lord prepared us? Is it our cry that we say, O Lord? How many times have we not commemorated Christmas in our life? And there was no real blessing. I missed it. And why did we miss it? Is it not our own fault? Oh God, prepare me. Oh God, open to me mine iniquity and show to me my sin. That is the preparation that we cannot do without. Oh congregation, boys and girls, we hope to come together. We hope to speak about this blessed event. But I hope there may be between this day and that day, that there may be a people upon their knees that may say, Lord, may this be the time. Oh, may I also receive a blessing. Amen. O Lord, forgive all that was sinful. Instruct us out of Thy word. Thy word is so full, and we can but come so little
into it. Oh, grant us thy blessing on the few simple words, and may thou prepare us all together to receive thy dear Son, that his power may be so necessary for us, and his righteousness. Wilt thou bring us safely home and with desire in thy house in this afternoon again? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 255, 1, 3, and 4. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise to the rock of our salvation. Loud hosannas let us raise, thankful tribute gladly bringing. Let us come before him now, and with psalms his praises singing, joyful in his presence bow. 1, 3, and 4 of 255. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.